I think one of the things that Keith said that perhaps I value most as far as him saying anything about me is the involvement that I have or try to have with the kids of the congregation. I remember very well working with those young men who were interested in track and went out there and worked out with them and did some plyometrics and some other things with them and trying to get them ready for that track season. And I try to build a relationship. I'm into building relationships and especially with the kids. I don't want them to think that the visiting preacher is so into himself and he's so far away from them that they can only look at him from a distance. But no, I'm here for them too, and maybe even in many ways here for them more so. And I try to visit with these young people and build a relationship, and did the same thing with Jalen and loved visiting with him. And if you let me know you have an activity, and I will stretch myself and try to come, because as I said the other day, I don't play brother and sister, that you are my literal, actual brothers and sisters, and I want to treat you that way. And your kids, I want to show the same degree of interest in their activities as I would in my own children's activities. I'm just so proud of Keith, and I've seen him grow, I've seen him develop, I've seen him mature in the faith. He has always had a compassion for the things of God, and to see him just constantly growing and maturing in the faith is really, really a good thing. And God bless you all so very much for letting me come and be with you all these few days. And the meeting is essentially over. Tomorrow night is the last night. And any meeting you have, there is going to come a time when it's going to be the second to the last night, which will precede the last night. But it just goes by so very fast. And I enjoyed our time with Shan's mother today. He and I went to see her, and she was just a delight. She was just a delight, and she wanted to be ready for visitors, and so she took extra time to get ready. It's a girl thing, you know. We guys will come out unshaven, slobbering, and everything else. Hey, y'all, you know. But it's a girl thing. I got a brother. He's in a brother in the faith. He's in Cleburne, and he's a dentist. And so one day, one of the elderly ladies in the city called him and told him, "Well, Dr. Dill, I have a awful pain, and I need to come in and see you." And then he says, "Well, can you come in and see me at 3? He said, "No, I can't. I have a hair appointment then." So had to do the hair. She'd rather be in pain than have that hair undone. So such as it is, I'm just excited about being here with you all, and just the prospects of what can happen when believers come together. Not only that, but you do the necessary preceding work as far as praying, and I see a fly on one person's car out there, and one of the visitors last night, one of the ladies in the back said that one of the ladies of the church always invites them to come to whatever we're having or to the meetings, and she didn't give me a flyer, and I told her about it, and so she came when she found out about it. And that's just the reputation that you all have in this community. Tomorrow I'll be going to one more school, and also we'll be talking to the first responders tomorrow. So it's going to be a busy day, but nonetheless, it is going to give the congregation an image in the community. Not that you don't already have one, but it will only enhance and further that image that that you all already have. Last night we tried to be in the moment and to address something that we thought was current or concurrent with the crowd that was here. And I'm looking, and I've already been asked, you know, was I going to deal with the announced subject, that which is already announced? And I said, I don't know. I have to see who is here before I plunge into the message. And one of the things that is kind of determining what I'm going to say tonight, or what lesson I'm going to do tonight, was the number of young people that were going to be here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to defer what was in my mind to tomorrow and do that particular lesson. For right now, I want to invite your attention to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. And ladies and gentlemen, as you are turning to 1 Samuel chapter 30, that when I study the Bible, that I indeed study what is there, but I also try to look at the little nuances that are in a particular incident and or a particular event. One of the things that I don't like to do, and it's hard to break the habit, but, and you heard me say it before, I don't like to call the events of the Bible stories, because sometimes we think that stories are indeed stories. Little Red Riding Hood, you know, Three Little Pigs, and those stories. But these are events, and this is an event that happened in the life of King David. Now, not only did I want you to know the event, but I want to go deeper into the event and pull out some of the nuances. And a nuance is something that is subtle, all right? Something that is not necessarily so glaring that you have to look at it, but it is one of those little nuances. It is one of those little subtleties. Now, In 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you don't mind, and look at verse number 18, and I'm going to read it from this translation. And I could read it from another translation, but I want to read it from this translation. As I said last night, that I'm going to go back and forth, and I'm probably going to do a lot of reciting from the King James Version. But I want to read it from this translation so that we might get our ears tuned in to maybe something, a variance from what we have already known. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Bezor ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. As David and his men approached, he greeted them. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the men who stayed with the supplies is the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike." David made this statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. Ladies and gentlemen, what is not communicated in this block of scripture is an incident that happened earlier on in this same chapter. That while David and his men were gone, that the Amalekites came in, the enemies came in, and they took all of the women and the children, and they took all of the supplies. They plundered David's camp. And things were already tense between David and his men. In fact, the story goes, you see how you can slip that in there? In fact, it is relayed that David's mighty men, who were such valiant warriors that they can take on an army much bigger than themselves, that when they came back and they saw that the camp was plundered, the men began to cry that they lost all strength. And then they blamed David and they said, "It is your fault, David, that we have lost our wives, that we have lost our children. It is your fault." And as a result, they thought about or they spoke about stoning David. And that is where you find the verse that David encouraged himself in the Lord. But now we find that David and his men go and recover the plunder. And as they did recover the plunder, they brought all the women and all the children back and all the items that were taken. In fact, they came back with more than that which was taken. But there were some of David's men. You have to realize that all of David's men were not Israelites. In fact, most of David's men were pagans. They were heathens. But they were loyal to David. And they said to David that those 200 men that became too weak and they did not come with us in the plunder, that they don't get any of what we have recovered. But David said, "Not so, brothers, that everybody, those that guarded the items, that those that were too weak to come, that everybody gets a portion of that which we took." In other words, what David was telling his men, that everybody eats. That's what I want to use for a thought this evening. Everybody eats. Not only those that went with us, not only those that went and attacked the Amalekites, not only those that recovered the plunder, not only those that did the work, but those that were among us, that they get to eat also. Everybody eats. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a message. Heaven, we have a problem. Tonight we need to communicate to the world that everybody eats. The message that we have to have, and that's the message that we communicate to the world. That's the thing that we need to let the world know, that everybody eats. That in Christ's church, guess what? Everybody eats. That in this dispensation, that there is nothing so exclusive, that you do not have to have a special priest to pray for, yeah, that you do not have to have a certain degree, that you do not have to achieve a certain caliber or a certain standing, but in Christ, everybody eats. I'll amen myself on that one. Amen, Anderson. Y'all may not know good preaching, but I know it and I will amen myself. Amen. Everybody eats. If you want to invigorate somebody, if you want to charge somebody up, if you want to get them excited like a puppy dog, you tell them that everybody eats. David's men, the worst of them, said, no. Everybody doesn't get. They didn't come with us. They don't get any plunder. But what they need to do is just take their wives and their children and be gone. David said, brothers, that's not the way it is. Because it was God that protected us. It was God that provided for us. We are not going to do this. And do you not know that David said this? He said we will share and share alike, everybody eats. And that is not the end of the story. But David took the plunder that they got. David gave some to his family and to his friends. David sent some to all of the nations on and about. David even sent some of the plunder to some of the places where he and his men had visited. Everybody eats. That's the goodness. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, that's the luxury of being in Christ today. Everybody eats. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everybody, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek."
Everybody eats. This thing is available to everybody. Think about it for 1 second. I'm not going to be long. You already got the message. We can go home now. You can go and you can go home on this little bit of information, half cocked, and still say something good. Everybody eats. I know, ladies and gentlemen, that you know, and in Matthew chapter 23. What you have there in Matthew chapter 23, you have certain individuals, the religious leaders, who try to make themselves exclusive. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells them, you better watch out for the scribes and the Pharisees, for what they desire to sit in Moses' seat. They'll go around binding heavy burdens on other men's back, but with their own finger, they won't lift anything. They love to be greeted in the marketplace, Rabbi, Rabbi, but don't be called Rabbi, because all of you are brothers. In other words, we are all on a level playing field, and guess what? Everybody eats. So when guys go around calling themselves reverend, they are trying to distinguish themselves from everybody else. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? In Christ, everybody eats. We are all brothers and sisters. There's nothing exclusive. But some people try to make it exclusive. That ain't the way it is in Christ. You remember the situation when the people were following Jesus, had been following Jesus a long time. There in the book of John chapter 6. They had been following him for a long time, and Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So he asked the disciples, he said, what should we do because the people are faint? Philip said, Lord, send them into the city. Let them find lodging and find something to eat because we ain't going to feed them. But there was this boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. It is interesting. Now, I know how we often read it. We often read it as though this boy had the five loaves of bread and the 2 fish, that we read it that all of a sudden is a voluntary thing. But early, if you read how Mark renders it as though the apostles had already claimed the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. That's what we're going to eat. I don't know about them. They're going to have to fend for themselves. They're going to have to figure this thing out. But Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And so they brought the fish. They brought the loaves to Jesus. Jesus blessed it. And he got the men to sit down. 5,000 men just counting them. And guess what? Everybody ate. I like this. This is us. This is what the Lord offers. He offers that everybody eats. And so in Matthew 23, you have the religious leaders. They are saying that we are the reservoir of knowledge and wisdom. If you want some of this, you got to come to us. No, ladies and gentlemen, that dog don't hunt. Everybody eats. Who are the priests in Christ? We are. We are. Who are the ministers in Christ? We are. Every last believer is a priest and a minister. Everybody eats. That's not how the religious world teaches it. The religious world has a pecking order. That here it is, if you ain't here and you ain't that and you ain't this and that, you think that anybody can shake T.D. Jakes' hand at the end of Sunday service? No, you can't. You got to be one of the money people. I got real quiet just now. You look at you think that anybody can go up to Kenneth Hagin or any one of these so-called big-time television preachers and just, hey, brother, let me shake your hand. No. You try to do that, you get tackled by one of their security. But if you're one of the big people, you get to them. That's not how it is. In Christ, everybody eats. Everybody eats. We can all talk to God. We don't have to go in the boot and talk to somebody and confess to some man and tell him all our problems. We can talk to God about our problems ourselves. That's why it says in the book of James chapter 5, he said that Elijah was a man of like passion. In other words, Elijah was a man just like us, yet he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Therefore, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Everybody eats. We all have access to God equally. Everybody eats. Everybody, I'd like, amen, we need to take this out of these doors here and let the world, let the community know, everybody eats. Everybody eats. Jesus fed the multitude. He fed 5,000. He did not say, you eat, you don't eat. You eat, you don't eat. The disciples would have, because it says, send them away. Let them go into the city, find lodging, find some food. You know what? We ain't got enough food for ourselves. And I just don't want them sitting down here while we eat, looking at us eat. Jesus said, nay, brothers, sit them down. And he gave thanks that everybody ate till they were full. Everybody eats. That is the luxury in Christ. But if you get somebody else to write the script, they're going to write it differently. They're going to write it where certain people eat and others don't eat. In fact, that is so antithesis to the idea, to the concept of Christ. Everybody eats. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go into all the world and teach the gospel to everybody. Everybody has an access to this thing equally. Everybody eats. I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. If I was sitting where you are and somebody get up and does a sermon like that, I'm ready for something. I want to know what's the next step, because we cannot hold this in these four walls. We need to let the world know. And if you are here and you have been a part of a religious group where everybody doesn't eat, that only certain people can pray, that you have to go and confess to certain people, that here it is that you go around calling these people by these special designations, that is not in Christ. It is not in Christ. But in Christ, we all get to eat. Revelation chapter 22, the bride says, come. The spirit says, come. Whosoever will, let them come. This invitation is for everybody and not just for somebody. Everybody eats. Now, I know some of us are already thinking about 1 Thessalonians. If any man does not work, he does not eat. That is not even, that it's fruit, but it's not the same fruit. It is talking about somebody who don't want to work, who ain't going to work, you know, that person should, that's that situation there. But as far as this other thing, as far as the richness of Christ, it is available to everybody. And that's why my ministry is so special, that I'm going and talking to people who have fractured the law and tell them that the gospel is available to you too. Everybody eats. Everybody eats. Our ministry was started by a guy by the name of Clyde Thompson. Some of you may or may not know who Clyde Thompson is. Clyde Thompson was sent to prison when he was 17 years old because he killed two people. And when he was in prison, he killed another three people when he was in prison. He was labeled as the meanest man in Texas. And he thought that he was unredeemable. But God redeemed him. God redeemed him. Because Clyde, you are not damaged goods. Because the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from your sins. Tell your story along the same lines as Clyde Thompson. Every one of us in this room know who Jeffrey Dahmer is. Jeffrey Dahmer was the most hated man in America at one time. He is dead. Now, Jeffrey Dahmer was a masochist. He was a homosexual. He was a sadist. And he was a cannibal. He killed people and he preserved their body parts and he ate them and he did other things with them and he tortured them and all this other stuff. Jeffrey Dahmer was found guilty and Jeffrey Dahmer was sentenced to prison. And so a lady found out where Jeffrey Dahmer was, a member of the church found out where Jeffrey Dahmer was, and she sent Jeffrey Dahmer a Bible correspondence course. It was to her surprise that Jeffrey Dahmer answered the course and he took all of the courses. And you know how these Bible correspondence courses are, that at the end of the Bible correspondence course, you ask the question, do you want to be baptized? To her surprise, Jeffrey Dahmer said, yes. He checked that box.
She contacted one congregation close to the prison where Jeffrey Dahmer was. Nobody went to see Jeffrey Dahmer. She contacted another congregation a little further away. That congregation did not send anybody to go visit with this man who wanted to be baptized. She finally found a brother by the name of Ratcliffe. I'm going to a workshop. Brother Ratcliffe is on the same trolley going to the hotel where we're going, and he tells me the story about Jeffrey Dahmer and Jeffrey Dahmer's conversion. He tells me about how Jeffrey Dahmer was a very introverted individual, but he had his apprehensions. Yes, he did. Pretty much just like Ananias had the apprehensions when he went to talk to Paul. Ananias, when God told Ananias, "I got somebody I want you to talk to. Who is it, Lord?" "Saul of Tarsus." "Behold," he prayed, "Lord, you know this man had done much evil against your saints." And God tells Ananias, "Don't worry about it. Go ahead on. He's going to suffer many things for my cause." It is interesting. When Ananias went in, he didn't say, "What's up, Saul?" He said, "Brother Saul." He called him brother already. So in case he had some intentions, he wanted to know, "Brother Saul." And he baptized that man. So Brother Ratcliffe goes in there and he talks to Jeffrey Dahmer. And he baptizes the most hated man in America, was baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. That is not the story. The story is, Brother Ratcliffe tells me, we're on the trial, and he tells me about a lady. He was at a workshop, and the lady says, "Are you the man that baptized Jeffrey Dahmer?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm the one that the Lord sent, and I baptized Jeffrey Dahmer." She says, "Well, if Jeffrey Dahmer going to heaven, I don't want to go." And Brother Ratcliffe said, "You don't have that to worry about." If the blood of Jesus Christ could not cleanse Jeffrey Dahmer, it can't cleanse you. I'm going to say it again. If Jesus' blood could not cleanse Jeffrey Dahmer, who killed people, who preserved their organs, and who ate their body parts, then it cannot wash you from your lie. It can't wash you from your thievery. It cannot wash you from any of your sins. Everybody eats. I am glad of that everybody eats. And that's why Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your souls." Another translation there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 says that David said, "Share and share alike." Ladies and gentlemen, in Christ, everybody eats. Everything that we need is in Christ, and it is available to everybody equally. We ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, where are the spiritual blessings? They are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. We ask the question, where is redemption? It is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. We ask the question, where is the forgiveness of sin? Forgiveness of sin is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. We ask the question, where is the no condemnation? The no condemnation is in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. We ask the question, where is the new creation? The new creation is in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. And it is available to all men. One of the things that I did not do last night, I did not finish our lesson where I had intended to finish the lesson there in the book of Acts chapter 17. That here it is, the Apostle Paul went to a place called Athens, and he visited with the Athenians, who sat by the wayside or sat by the gate as people came in wanting to hear something new and wanted to hear something that really stroked their ears. And Paul came in and he began to speak to them. They all knew about God, but they needed to know about Jesus Christ. For it is in him we live and we have our very being. In verse number 20-30, he says, "In time that his ignorance, God winked, but now he commands every man, everywhere, to repent." Everybody eats. I'm glad of that. Ladies and gentlemen, if this is not something to invigorate the world and give the world hope that there is a way out, then I don't know what the message is. David gave us this. God preserved this situation that happened with King David. And David, there was some saying, "No, we can't. They can't eat." But David said, "Nay, brothers, God provided for us. God protected us. And even those who guarded the goods and stayed behind because they were too weak to come, they get to eat also, and they get an equal share in it. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be varying degrees of punishment in the afterlife, but in the afterlife, everybody gets the same reward. Not only do we get the same reward, but we all get it at the same time. Everybody is going to have to appear before the judgment seat of God all together. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse number 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. John says in Revelation 20 and 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. That means everybody was standing before the throne of God. Romans, John chapter 5, Jesus said, behold, the day cometh when all that are in the grave will hear my voice and come forth. And ladies and gentlemen, when God welcomes us into the everlasting kingdom, we all get to eat and we all get to enjoy the blessings of God equally. You mean tell me Paul is going to get the same thing that I get, and Paul did all of that? Jesus already gave the answer, because there were some that went out in the field to work at early in the morning. There were some that went out at noontime. There were some that went out in the afternoon. Nod your head. You don't have to say amen. At least do this if you know the story. Just a little rubberneck. Matthew chapter 22. And then at the end of the day, when the master was paying, those that went out in the morning said, no, Lord, we went out early in the morning. Shouldn't we get more than them? Nope. I told you what I was going to pay you. I'm going to pay you what I said I was going to pay you. I'm going to pay you what I'm going to pay them. I'm going to pay them what I'm going to pay you. Everybody eats. If you go in the field to work for the Lord today and you die tomorrow, you get the same reward of somebody been working in the field for 40, 50, 60 years. Somebody saying it ain't fair. That's you. That ain't the Lord. Amen. That's the truth. I ain't making it. I'm not up here freestyling, y'all. That's the book. That's the book. They complain. Shouldn't we get more? No. We agreed. What you gonna get? And we agree with those who went out in the evening. Everybody gets the same thing. Everybody eats. That's the world thinking that somebody should get more than someone else. No, in Christ, everybody eats. I'm almost giddy like a little girl at this. I'm up here blushing and you can't tell. Amen. Everybody eats. Everybody eats. That's what we have to tell people, Mike. They come in here and they all toe up from the flow up. Got a bad case of the BBDs, broke, busted, and disgusted. And they come in here and say, y'all church will accept me? Yes. Yes. And that's what Paul says to the Corinthians. Know ye not, verse number 9 of chapter 6, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. The adulterer, the idolater, the effeminate, that is the homosexual, the drunkard, the revelers, the extortionist, the abuser of themselves with mankind, the railers, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. It is as though it never happened. Everybody eats. If someone were to tell me that when I was hearing the gospel, I would not have delayed the few hours that I did delay in obeying the gospel. If Eddie Harper had to say, well, Freddie Anderson, everybody eats. What do you mean? Everybody eats. Because in Christ, you get the same thing that the Apostle Paul gets. You get the same thing that Peter gets. You get the same thing that John got. Everybody eats. The final conclusion to this whole thing with David, that David made a law, and that law existed until the writing of that book, that everybody share and share alike. It became an ordinance. It became a statute. it became the rule that everybody eats. Isn't that invigorating? Doesn't that loose you from where you're sitting right now? That if you were to come to Christ tonight, that you'd get the same thing that Shan, who not only is a preacher, but has been preaching for several decades. And you tell me I'm going to get what that guy who's been doing that for that long gets, even though he died tomorrow, I died tomorrow, the Lord came tomorrow, we all get the same thing? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I know it's fun to talk about you send up material up to heaven to build your mansion, and reason why you don't have much of a mansion because you didn't send up too much, you got nothing but a lean-to. Ain't going to be no lean-tos. There won't be any lean-tos in heaven. I've even said it myself, you know, just to make a point. You know, just to make a point. Well, there ain't going to be no lean-tos. Jesus didn't say, in my Father's house are many mansions and a couple of lean-tos. No. He said, there are many mansions. If it were not, I would have told you. If there was some lean-to, I would have told you about it. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a mansion in heaven waiting for me. Even if I get in the field at the noontime or in the evening, I still get that mansion. Wonderful thought. Everybody eats. Job said that he craved the word of God like it's necessary food. So do you crave this thing, ladies and gentlemen? Do you want to eat? Come and taste that the Lord is good. Do you want to eat today? Because everybody eats. Anderson, how can I partake of this? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must believe. You must repent. You must confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you must be baptized to have your sins washed away. And once they are washed away, God is going to add you to the church. You cannot join the church that Jesus built. You got to be added to it. Wonderful thought. Wonderful thought. And those of us that idea may have escaped us, that everybody eats, revisit it and become reacquainted with it. Fall in love with that concept all over again. Shan, remind these people, everybody eats. And so when you have someone who is 15, 16 years old and get baptized, everybody eats. What a wonderful thought. That's our message. I'm sorry to say it. Now, I'm not trying to say I'm such a unique preacher, but I guarantee you ain't nobody else in America preaching that sermon. I can guarantee you that. And you can take that and put it on a T-shirt. Amen. And they will ask you, what you mean everybody eats? Let me sit down and tell you about it. That in Christ, everybody eats. Oh, thank you, Lord, for letting us learn that tonight. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us about it. Everybody eats. So tonight, if you want to eat, if you want to be a partaker in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've told you how to get into him tonight. You don't have to go through no person. You go to Jesus. You don't have to pray to Mary. You don't have to pray to the saints. You pray to Jesus. You mean tell me pray to Jesus. You can pray to God. You don't have to go through these saints and all these other things. You pray to God yourself. And Jesus is the mediator between men and us. You pray directly to God. So I don't have to pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God. Yeah, I grew up in that in Louisiana. Was right there on the back row of the church. That when we wouldn't cutting up, we were rolling dice. I'm not lying either. Hit that seven. Come on, you know. I'm not lying either. Yeah. But you know, I don't know why I wanted to end on that point. I should have ended early. Now I'm gonna put an image in your mind that we cannot press rewind. But you need to come tonight. What a wonderful song that Shan has chosen for us tonight. Bring to him your broken lives. Bring to him your life that is falling apart. Bring to him all of your problems, all of your cares. Bring them to him. He can handle those things and he can deal with those things because you can go directly to him with that. I've said enough. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing? You can begin coming.